Hello, welcome to another episode of Window 10 series. I'm Yang Chou, your host, a Microsoft technology evangelist. In last episode, we talked about how you deploy Windows 10. You have in-place upgrade, you have provisioning, you have wipe and load method, different method. In this episode, we want to focus on how you can migrate your user state. With me online is my buddies, Dan Stoltz and Kevin Randy. Hi, Dan. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Yang.
Hi, Yang.
Hi, Dan. Well, I tell you what, like I said, it's impossible to not know you, but still give us a brief introduction of yourself, and the same with Kevin.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'll kick us off. Thanks, Yang, for having me on TechNet Radio. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm Chief Technology Strategist for Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft for about 7 years in the DX group. My role is to, you know, spread the word about our awesome technology at scale, and to assist companies with that translation from business challenge to technology solution. So I get the great task of being able to play and work with the latest and greatest technology all day, every day.
Cool, Kevin.
Yeah, well, very much like Dan, I'm very blessed to be with Microsoft and be with them now 12 years as a technology evangelist, and really just like Dan said, spreading the word, working with communities, working with new and interesting technology, and being able to take that and hopefully encourage our IT pro audiences on the best ways to use our most recent technologies, benefit their business.
Great, great. Thank you both for being on the show. For all you guys out there, if you have not checked out their blogs, you should. They both are very prolific bloggers and also rank very, very high within Microsoft. So thank you guys for coming on the show. Now, in this episode, we want to kind of zoom into how we can migrate user state. Now, I know many people like me, when we migrate to a new operating system, there's always a concern. You know, is the experience is going to same in terms of, you know, all the stuff I put in there, all my desktop and all that? How do I keep them? How do I find out? How do I restore them? So for that, I want to ask you, Dan, what are those tools that can help us to do this kind of job?
Well, there are just a massive amount of tools to help us with migration. We talked a lot about them on the prior episode with System Center and other free tools, Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. The automated, and what we're going to talk about today is the automated deployment toolkit, and in fact, one particular component of the automated deployment toolkit, and that is the user state migration toolkit. The acronym for that is USMT, User State Migration Toolkit, and it's a subset of the automated deployment toolkit that has a number of tools built into it to allow you to scan your existing system for all your users, data, applications, preferences, favorites, desktop icons, all that stuff, basically back that stuff up and go to your, you know, newer version of Windows and then restore all that cool stuff. So in a nutshell, that's what it is. You know, there's a lot of tools, and we're gonna kind of laser focus on that one user state migration toolkit. And its primary role is simply to take a user state, you know, my favorites, my desktop, my data, and back it up so that it can be restored cleanly. Now, you have to recognize, whenever you're doing a backup, you can't just, like, you know, back it up from the C drive and dump it on the C drive on the destination, because a lot of times as you change versions, like say going from all the way from XP to Windows 10 or Vista to Windows 10, that data is all stored in different places. So that you have to have a tool that's able to understand both where it was and where it's going to be in the destination.
I see. Now, you mentioned a number of tools. So now, this could be a test for many IT pros, like, because we heard some of the acronym of these tools that you mentioned. So let's kind of make sure that we can link the acronym with the name. So ADK, USMT, MDT, ABC, XYZ, etc. So link them together with us. And if you can kind of do a quick demo to show us a little bit about the tool, that'd be great.
Sure. I think that's a perfect place to start. Let me do that. I've went ahead and switched over to my screen so you can kind of show you around. And one of the things that I want to point out here is that I actually did a blog post that kind of walks the user through step-by-step process of how to work with the user state migration tool. And I've got a shortcut URL to that, aka.ms/usmt5. So when you go to that, it automatically forwards to my blog post on my blog. So a couple things. We were talking about what tools that we use, and you actually have to install, download and install USMT tools, which are part of the Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit. So I was wrong about the actual name. The actual name is Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit. And I've given you download links here to actually go and download that. And once you launch the setup file, you'll go through an installation where it'll install the ADK. And you have some options to install some additional tools as well. So you've got the Application Compatibility Toolkit, which will actually scan the applications that you're running and will tell you what's compatible with Windows 10. You also have the Windows pre-installation environment, so that allows you to boot to basically a clean machine, a Windows pre-installer environment. Imaging Configuration Designer, which Kevin, I think mentioned that in the prior one, the Imaging Configuration Designer allows you to do the configuration for creating your image, your deployment image, and then the User State Migration Tool. That's the tool we're going to be talking about today. That is for the migrating of the users. There's also a Windows Performance Toolkit.
Hey Dan, I just had a quick question for you. Sure. So I don't see the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit on here. Does the ADK kind of replace that and all the tools that were part of it?
That's exactly right. The this new kit has more stuff in it. But all of these tools are the same as they were. It's just a different packaging model, gotcha. with a new name, okay. Because it truly is doing a lot more. See, when it was the MDT, it was really all about deployment. But since we've added all this other stuff with the performance and the assessment and the compatibility, and though some of this stuff was here, but the Imaging and Configuration Designer, there's a lot more stuff in there. So I suspect, I'm not on that team, so I don't know what went into the decision. I suspect that partly what made the decision to go ahead and change it, so that it indicates that it's a lot more than just deployment. It's also a good assessment tools.
Great.
And there is an assessment toolkit. Now, if you want to do the Application Compatibility Toolkit, you do need to have the Microsoft SQL Server. If you already have your own SQL Server, you can, of course, leverage that. But you can do the Express version, and you need 2005 or later. You do need administrative permissions in order to do that install. But once you do the install, it will basically create the user create the folder structure for your installation. And I'll switch for a second just to kind of show you what that structure looks like. So if I go to my C drive, now if I scroll up, you'll see that when I specify the location of the install, the default location is going to be C program files x86 Windows kit /10. So let me go ahead and go to that folder. Let me bring my folder explorer up here. Let me go to the C drive, program files, Windows kits all the way at the bottom. Windows kits, and then the version 10 is the latest and greatest version, and then you have your assessment and deployment kits. You'll see there's a lot of other things here. That's your performance toolkit, etc. I'm going to go into the assessment toolkit, assessment deployment kits, and then you'll see that I have imaging and configuration designer. I have deployment tools. I have assessment toolkit, pre-installation environment. I'm going to drill down in the user state migration tool, and notice that I have AMD64, ARM64, and x86. So whenever you use these tools, you want to use whichever version, depending on the architecture of the machine that you're running it on. So if I am running, say, the user state migration tool on a 64-bit machine and I want to run scan state, then I'll run the 64-bit version or the AMD64. If I'm running it on, say, my Windows XP machine or my Windows 7 machine that is a 32-bit machine, then I'll run it off of the x86 folder to run that scan state. So there's just different versions for depending on the architecture of the machine that you're actually running the tool on.
Dan, I got two questions for you.
Sure.
First, this appears to be more like a system type of tool, if I'm an individual user, do I also use this? And the second question is, you mentioned about scan state. So I imagine that's to capture your current state. So is there a prescriptive guidance or steps that we can follow through?
Yep. So a couple, there's actually quite a few questions in that little thing there. So first of all, let me say this. Is it really for the administrator? Yes, it's absolutely designed for the administrator. Does that mean that you can only use it whenever you're deploying 10,000 machines? Absolutely not. It is designed so that you can use it with a large number of systems, and you can script it, and you can do lots of things with it. You can customize it, you can map users, you can do all kinds of things. And the way to do all that cool stuff is through these XML files. So you've got MigApp, MigDocs, MigUser, MigXML for the schema. If I actually open these, and I'm going to open them up in with Visual Studio Code as an example, and let me switch over to that application.
So you're saying if I'm a small and medium business, I have 10 workstation, I have 25 workstation, I can still use this tool. This is still very applicable.
No, absolutely. So regardless of the size of your environment, this is a great tool. I'll take it one step further. You know, if you're an independent consultant or even a hobbyist where you're just helping people with their own computer problems, this is an awesome tool because it's super easy to use with the second part of your question, the step-by-step instructions. And the step-by-step instructions are, outlined pretty in pretty good detail and easy to follow on my blog at itproguru.com, which the shortcut again for that was ak.ms/usmt5. But for those that want to get really deep and do a lot of really cool stuff with migrations or doing more heavy-duty deployments where you want to do a lot of other stuff, you can open up these XML files and make changes to them. Now, For the small amount of users, or for the novice or the beginner or the hobbyist, you definitely probably don't want to do the XML mappings. You want to kind of just do the clean, like I've got posted on my blog. But there is lots of really great documentation on what are in these XML files and how to change them. Now, I'm using Visual Studio Code as my text editor, but you could use Notepad++. I like Visual Studio Code because it does my syntax highlighting. It makes it just a lot easier to read. And Visual Studio Code is a free download. So, it's a tool that's made and designed by Microsoft. So it's a great way to modify XML files.
Another benefit of the VS Code is also it's cross-platform.
Oh, absolutely, cross-platform. Yeah. So even if you're running on Linux or other platforms, you can run that tool and go ahead and tweak it. So if your workstation is running Linux and you can do all your pre-configuration stuff on that, absolutely. Great point, Kevin. Now, the next thing you asked me about was the scan state, and you're absolutely correct, Young. The scan state is for the backup. And I'm going to switch back over for just a minute to this blog post. I'm going to show you there's really four steps in this process. Step one is download and install the USMT tools. Step two is gather or backup data using the USMT scan state tool. And then step three is install Windows or, unpack a new PC, however you're going to get Windows 10 on a machine. And then step four is restore that data or apply the state, if you will, using the load state tool. And each one of those steps are outlined in great detail. So step one, step by step on how to download it, where to download it from, how to do the installation, what tools you need to install, some examples of where it's going to put it whenever you install it. I even take it one step further and show you how to copy the files that you need, in assuming that you're going to run on a different machine than what you downloaded from. So, I'll tell you what I've done is I've taken these files and I've copied them over to I have a USB stick that I've created that's a bootable Windows 10 media, and I've copied over my USMT, my user state migration tools folder onto that USB thumb drive, so I can go to my mother-in-law's house and I can give her a new machine and migrate her tools and settings super easily. All I need is a USB hard drive to copy her data off, and then that USB stick that I created. And I do have instructions on my blog on how to create a stick for Windows 8. I don't quite have that for Windows 10, but I will get that up in the next couple of weeks. That'll be live because there are some differences between Windows 8 and Windows 10 whenever you're booting to whenever you're booting to a USB stick. So then after you create that disk, then you take that disk to the machine that you want to back up or scan. Think of the scan as backup. So you want to scan, so go to the directory. You have to be an administrator, so you got to do an administrative command prompt. And then you run the commands. And I've given you literally step by step, you know, go to the proper drive, go to the folder, make a directory for where you want to store the files. Some caveats in here, like you've got to be able to have a big file. So you want to use NTFS instead of FAT as an example for your file structure. What you're going to have for output, and then step three, installing Windows, you're kind of on your own for that. But I did give a tip in here on how to create a local account. Because remember, when we do a restore, we're going to bring over all those users. So if you already had a user, you don't have to go in and set up the user on your destination computer. Just set up any user. Set up a local user. That's fine. Because whenever you do the restore using load state, it's going to bring all that stuff over. So you don't need to create it before you run the tool. You just need the basic Windows 10 with the USMT, you know, installed and ready to roll. So then to apply it, you do the load state. Again, it has to be run as an administrator. And there's a lot of parameters. There's a lot of optional parameters, I should say. So this is the command that I ran to run the scan state on mine. And then as we go down further, this is the command I ran to run the load state. And we can go into a little more detail on that later if you want. But in a nutshell, that's kind of how the USMT works. And let's see. Let's do one other thing. Under here, I just want to point out these executables. We have the scan state. Again, that's for doing the... It does really two steps. One, it scans the computer to see what's out there. And step two is it allows you to back all that stuff up. And it does that by putting it into a MIG file. And I'm going to switch over to the example of where I put this data on this one that I ran when I created this blog post. So under the USMT folder, you have this USMT.mig. And you notice the size of this, 194 gig. So really big file. So all of my stuff is buried inside of that. Now, one of the questions that inevitably comes up, and you guys are probably thinking, is can I look inside that file to see what's in there? And you actually can. There's some tools, and I'll just point out one of them now, and we can go deeper if you want later. But under the scan state, there's this USMT utils. That tool allows you to actually extract individual files. And then the load state allows you to restore the entire state and create users and all of that other stuff.
Well, Dan, you got so deep into it, and now I do remember that kind of the high level is use the scan state to capture the state, and you use load state to kind of restore the state, and then you use Visual Studio Code to look at the XML file. I think the Visual Studio Code is kind of an interesting piece of it. Now, so all this, it seems to be you do it manually. That I would imagine in an enterprise environment, you need to have a kind of a systematic way to implement this.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you know, why don't we bring Kevin into this, because I know he's done a fair amount of work and teaching around this subject. Kevin, you want to chime in and we'll take this one together?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I guess I'd say at the high level, you know, again, back to kind of the conversation we had on the last in the last session, you know, the recommended way that you're going to be moving to Windows 10 is still going to be an in-place upgrade whenever possible, and even using tools such as the ADK and the deployment workbench to automate the process of launching a runbook that does just runs setup exe and does the installation in place. That's still going to be the recommended way. But this user state migration tool and the tools like scan state and load state, these are still going to be valuable for the cases where, oh, and I should also say, the deployment workbench, what does it use to actually do the work for backing up and restoring? If a task sequence actually requires that as part of the process. Back everything up, install the operating system, restore everything. Guess what tools it's using? It's using these tools in the USMT under the hood. You don't have to worry about that. It automates that process for you. So I guess to answer your question, Young, yeah, in an enterprise environment, you're still going to be using these tools if you're going to be doing that kind of a migration. And, you know, when are we going to do a migration versus an in-place upgrade? Well, probably in cases where you have lots of applications that also need to be upgraded. So you maybe have older versions of Office or other business tools, and this is a good opportunity for you as you're moving to an new operating system to just start fresh and install the operating system. And after certainly restoring the user's files and settings and being able to automate the process of this USMT. But again, the recommended way is going to be to do the in-place upgrade if possible, and then use the deployment tools for any additional customization, and then even beyond that to do a migration if we need to do any kind of a more flexible move to a newer environment.
Yeah, so if you look at it this way, you know, there's some things that you can't do with an in-place upgrade. I'll piggyback on what Kevin said, and that is where you can use those other tools. Use those other tools. They give you like the Workbench gives you an awesome graphical user interface and allows you to chain different events together instead of doing all this stuff manually using the USMT directly. I'll tell you, I use USMT because it's super easy to use, and that's a lot of times all I want to do. I want to, like the example that I gave, when I want to just go convert my mother-in-law, I can just go knock it out in a couple of hours, and that's a great example where I'm maybe taking her from her, you know, her old, you know, Windows 7 box that's running 32-bit, and I want to move her into a brand new Windows 10 box that's running 64-bit, and I've got to actually, I can't do an in-place upgrade because I can't change architecture. Not only that, I don't have any way, she doesn't have a network, so I don't have any way to hook those together. I mean, there's, you know, for the novice, there's, you know, cables that you can go to Best Buy or wherever to synchronize or to hook up the computers to do this transfer from one computer to the other. Really, the use cases that you're going to use this is, like Kevin said, you want to do a lot of massive customizations with mapping users, mapping applications, changing applications, where you want to actually tweak those XML files. For the most part, people that are doing deployments, they're going to be using the other tools. They're going to be using the Workbench. They're going to be using System Center for the most part, unless it's an in-place upgrade, which is, you know, it's really going to be 85% of the time. I would presume it's going to be a very large majority. So the big case for this is if you want to script it, you want to do a lot of heavy-duty stuff, or you want to do something super simple. So it's kind of both ends of the spectrum, but not really the middle of the road. The middle of the road, there's the other tools are way better.
So Dan, so after we did the scan state, what's the following step we should do? What other things we should do?
Well, for the scan state, let me pop back over to my blog post again, just for a second. For the scan state, there's a couple things that I think your audience will probably want to know. One of which, there's a whole lot of parameters. And in fact, I have a link to a scan state syntax. I'm only using like 6 or 7 parameters. And there's like hundreds, 130 maybe, of different parameters where you can tweak it. The scan state, you know, what I'm running is, you know, I'm running the scan state, and then where do you want to put the data that you're backing up? And then the O is to overwrite any data that's already there. And then the slash C is continue on, you know, non-fatal errors. And this way is if you have a warning or something, then it's not going to just make you start all over. And if you have a really big file that you're scanning, it could take a few hours, right? So you don't want it to crash if it's just, you know, something that's not going to be fatal. And then these here, you're identifying your XML files that you want to use. These come with the system. So whenever you deploy, whenever you run ScanState or deploy ScanState tools, it'll come with these XML files. You don't have to go create those. Those are there in case you want to modify them. By default, it's going to look in the current directory for these files if you don't specifically specify them, and you can use a complete path to specify if they're like in a different location or something. And then the optional switch for where to place the log file. And by default, if you try to store it in the store path, it'll give you. By default, it'll give it to you in the current or the default folder. And then the local only option. tells it not to scan your network drives, and you don't want it to scan your network drives. Picture this, you're migrating 10 users, and all of them have a mapping to a network drive that has 10 terabytes on it. So for every store, you're going to have those users having the entire, you know, network drive. So you often want to use this command. And then there's some other commands that I recommend that the audience take a look at, the auto and the gen config, to actually scan your system and go create the configuration files for you. And once you're done, it actually creates that MIG file that I showed you a little bit earlier. So the next step after the scan state is to deploy Windows and bring the tools over to like a USB drive, and then actually run the load state. So remember, the load state is the restore. And there's a whole bunch of parameters for that as well. One of them is where is the MIG file. The MIG file is that is the data file, that big file that has all the data in it. And you'll see that I have the /all, which is going to migrate all users on this computer. So all users that are in the package, this is what it's saying. It's not saying migrate all the users from that old machine, because remember, you're running it on the new machine now. It's going to migrate all users that are inside of that package file. And then you can optionally add in a password to create local accounts. If you don't, if you want to create local accounts, you need this LAC for local account create. And then you also kind of want to have a password for that. I've set up a kind of a sample password. And for those new accounts that it creates, it'll set that up as the password. By default, all those new accounts that it creates, it will have those disabled. So I can pass the LAE switch to enable those accounts. And then in my case, I also included a progress. So I wanted to be able to kind of look at the logs after the fact. So I did a slash progress and a slash L for the load log, and saved those out. So the actual command looked exactly like this. So there's, you know, it's pretty easy to understand how to use it. You literally can just copy and paste these commands, maybe tweak the URL paths, the drive letters, and just, you know, kind of let it rip to kind of do the bulk of the work that you want to do. So that kind of goes deeper into both of them, and you'll see in the results that I actually migrated multiple accounts. So it examined my system. The load state examined the system. Now, when examining the system, it's not examining the system. It's examining the contents of the data file from the other system. And there was a domain account, and there was also a local account. And then it also did the evaluation of the current computer. So then it actually counts all the files and how much work do I have to do, and then it actually applies the data. So if all goes well, you'll get a success and a load state return code of 0. And reboot the computer, you can actually log in as those other users, and you'll have your desktop, you'll have your favorites, you'll have all that stuff. And if you want to know exactly what it migrates, at the top of this blog post here, I have a what does USMT migrate, so you can actually drill down into that URL.
So, hey, Dan, I'm curious about the SKUs of Windows 10, because, there are different versions, and there's versions for business and the Enterprise Edition and so on. Does it matter which version or SKU I'm moving to?
It really doesn't matter. The one thing that does matter, though, is the package that you create, you have to use the package, the design for the architecture that you're on. But it doesn't matter which SKU you're using of Windows 10. It doesn't matter. You can go from professional to enterprise, or enterprise back down to professional. None of that stuff. None of that stuff matters. And also, the architecture doesn't matter. So you can go from x86 to 64, or back the other way even, as long as you're using the right tools, the right architecture version of the tool whenever you actually run it.
So can I look into my backup and see what's there? Or maybe I want to just restore some of the files instead of doing a full restore. Do I have that capability?
Well, kind of, sort of, maybe, yes and no.
So, yes or no, Dan, come on.
you can, absolutely, but it's not quite so simple. Okay. What you need to do, the USMT file is a MIG file, which is like a cabinet file. It's a, you know, think of it like a giant zip package. It's got everything in there. And there is a tool under the user state migration tools to allow you to restore. You know, we have the load state to restore everything, but there's also the USMT utils will allow you to restore individual files. You can do, you know, you can use like any kind of filter string, star.txt, star.pdf, you know, star.doc, whatever. Tell it where your destination is, and it's a command line tool as well, and it will extract all of those out. It'll keep the folder structure. And in fact, you can do everything. You can do all files in the cabinet. If you don't want to create the users and all that stuff, you just want to grab the data, you can use this tool to go do that as well. To see what's in there, that's a whole different ballgame, because the USMT tools, there is a way that you could get there with just the USMT tools, and that is you could do a verbose test output of the USMT tools, which will give you a long document, a long, you know, text document, if you will, if you pipe that into a text document, that lists everything in the file. But visualize this, every file is aligned with the full path, so it's not very clean. And it does have all of the other stuff in it too, including the state. So it's very noisy. But you can mount it. It is an image, so you can mount it with the DISM tool. So the DISM would be the way to mount it to actually navigate through the structure, but you could use the USMT tools, dump that into Excel, you know, dump that text file into Excel and do some navigating or searching on it from there as well.
Maybe that'd be the first way to do it, be to do a search from the list and then mount it in order to then navigate to where the file is using File Explorer.
Yes. But just recognize that DISM is, though you can extract files using DISM because it's just a package, you're probably going to find it's much more efficient to use USMT utils in order to extract those entire directories or, you know, all of the files that meet a certain criteria and stuff like that. It's probably going to be a lot easier.
Wow, guys, that's a lot of information, and it's probably what take me a while to digest. But great information, and thank you so much for joining this episode. And for Dan and Kevin, any last words?
Yeah, there's a couple things, Young. First, you know, thank you and Kevin both so much for having me on the show and for, you know, talking about this topic. I know it's going to be pretty interesting for a number of people out there as they start working with Windows 10 and thinking about deployment. You know, there's a ton of information out there. And one of the things that I want to leave your audience with is, you know, now that you've gone through and you've learned a little bit about USMT, look at some of the other great videos that are out on Channel 9. So channel9.msdn.com, and also Microsoft Virtual Academy. Microsoft Virtual Academy, it just has a wealth of information. And, you know, in today's world, we really have to keep up with, you know, try to keep up with technology. We're not going to do that if we don't keep, you know, allocating some time week over week to learn. And I know you and Kevin both have some awesome stuff out on Channel 9 as well. So thank you both very much. Kevin, you want to close us out?
Well, I'll just add one more thing. I'll let Young close us out. But I did want to mention, too, and I think, Dan, you know, again, thank you. It was a really good overview of the, I think, in particular, the ADK, because I think there's a lot of IT pros that may not even be aware of it. And so the fact that it has these tools in place, even above and beyond the real complex, the powerful, because with that kind of flexibility comes some complexity, but it's a very powerful tool set that can do many things for you. So if you're an IT pro, you haven't looked at the ADK, definitely check that out.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Dan. For all you folks out there, if nothing else you learn from this episode, there's one thing you must keep in mind is Dan used USMT to successfully migrate his mother-in-law's workstation into new OS. So for that, I hope everybody will learn this and keep your in-laws happy. For all you guys out there, this is Yang Cho signing off, and I hope to see you in the future episode.